Times when, like Warren mentioned during worship there, that, you know, when you're praying and you're just not hearing that answer, it's everyday faith. It's the kind of faith that is you're going to need during that time is what we're going to talk about this morning. See, faith is it's a key, obviously, to our Christian walk. Even Emily mentioned that when we first give our life to Christ, it is that moment at that time. It takes faith. Without faith, we have no walk with God at all, right? We serve an unseen God, a God that is not made with human hands, but one that actually, by faith, we believe, made the human hands, right? I'm going to say that again. I wrote that, and I thought it was better than that. Let me say this. Without faith, we have no walk with God at all. We worship an unseen God, one that is not made with human hands, but one that, by faith, we believe, made the human hands. Right? See, it's better than that. I knew it. Get something, at least an amen or something.
I need a second
time. All right, yeah. See, maybe I said it too fast. I'm sorry. You know, I read a post the other day, and it's our social media world, Facebook, all that stuff. Sometimes you get things. Most of it is things you could do without, but once in a while you get an occasional gem, something that kind of stands out to you. And I got one of those a couple weeks ago. My cousin is a Christian in South Dakota, and she was sending out stuff, and she sent out a quote that says, "Going through a crisis is not what makes a man. Going through a crisis is what reveals what a man is made of." And I thought, oh, that kind of makes sense. You know, we do go through things in life. I don't always call it a crisis. You know, it might be, you could put a different name to a lot of different things that's what is describing. But going through a crisis is not really what makes that man or woman. But going through a crisis is what reveals what they're made of. Okay, and as I thought on that, and I began putting it into kind of God theology kind of stuff. How does that relate to God and what we go through as a Christian believer? And I believe it has a lot to do with our faith. You know, if you think about our faith, immediately after, if we're praying and we have a need for a miracle, and we're praying for a miracle, and immediately after that miracle or that unexpected blessing comes from God, our faith is strong, and we might say at that point that we have a lot of faith, right? Because something, wow, God just wowed you with something, and man, your faith is built up in that. You get excited about it. To be sort of strong in faith when things are going good, okay, and it just seems like you're just receiving one blessing upon another, one blessing after another. Faith at that point sometimes can be a little bit easier to handle, a little bit easier to have. But what about when the blessings are not so recognizable? You know, God blesses every day. The sun comes up every day. Thank God for that. Stars come out. Thank God for that. We have miracles every day. Child, babies born, and all these things that happen. Okay, but sometimes we're not recognizing them, or they're not as stand out to us personally, because maybe there's somebody else had a baby, or maybe, you know, when the sun came up, you were still sleeping kind of thing, or whatever, you know what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't recognize them quite as much. What about when you've prayed for a particular thing, been standing in faith, you believe you've mustered up all the faith you got, and that particular thing, it just seems like God is not hearing you. Okay, you've been praying it, and it just seems like maybe God is nowhere to be found. You know, I tell you, it's the way it works for me, but if I pray for a specific miracle and the answer comes right away, I'm a believer, right? At that moment, my God can do anything, right? You're all excited. A miracle just happened. This had to be God. It was God, and my God can do anything. There is nothing that my God can't do. There's nothing impossible for my God. He is awesome, and he's powerful, and he's miraculous, and it's easy to have faith at that moment. But what about when that answer doesn't come right away? Okay? It's in those moments, or you could say in those little moments of crisis, that you're going to find out what kind of faith you really have. Because it's when the answer doesn't come that faith really needs to be there. Okay, I mean, it's a joyful thing when an answer has come, and man, I'm on fire, this is great, God is good, and we can see all that, but it's during those other moments when you're going to find out what your faith is really made of. How strong a faith do you really have? To have your faith shaken by something that is not happening how you thought it would or when you thought it would, or maybe it's not happening at all. Okay, it's not something that's new. Okay, I want to give you some examples from the Bible here. If you think about guys like Elijah, Elijah the prophet, man, that guy was a powerful man of God. He did some awesome, miraculous things, and God did some good things through him. He had a great faith when he had this miraculous moment. He took a stand with the Almighty God. If you remember this story, he calls all the people together and says, come, come here. And he says, how long are you going to be divided? If the Lord is your God, then serve him. But if that false god of Baal is your God, then go serve him. He's laying it down. And then he stood up to 450 of the false prophets of Baal, and he challenges them to come up with some sort of power, some sign that was even remotely comparable to the power of the Almighty God that we serve. Okay, and he challenged them to that. He challenged them to get their false god of Baal to start a fire. That's all he had to do, was start a simple fire for the burnt offering and sacrifice. So when they could not do that, okay, when he says, go ahead, have your, you know, all these prophets are crying out to their God, they're cutting themselves, trying to get their God's attention, and all this crazy stuff. And when they get done, here's what happens. In 1 Kings 18:36, says, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench that he had poured on it before he asked for this. And verse 39 says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You think this guy didn't have faith at that moment? You think he didn't have strong faith in God? This was a guy that at that moment in his life, he was all in. Okay, there was no doubt. He knew that God could do this. He knew that his God was the God, and he was going to make it known to everyone else. But this same guy, not too long after this, was found hiding under a juniper tree in the forest, fearing for his life. Okay, Jezebel, the queen, had gotten pretty upset about him shaming the prophets and even putting to death 450 of the prophets of Baal. And she put a hit out on his life. Okay, and he heard about it, got scared about it, and went and hid. Elijah's faith was so shaken at that moment that when he could get to the point of mustering up a prayer to pray to God, it was not a prayer for deliverance, it was not a prayer for wisdom or a prayer for a miracle, but he prayed for God to take his life so that he would not have to face Jezebel and be afraid anymore. Okay, he was pretty well shaken to the core. Even some other most well-known men and women in the Bible, people that we have heard of, have had their faith shaken. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, that there's times in life where, like I'm saying, you get kind of spiritually on a high and things are going great, and then there's other times in life where maybe it's not so great. Maybe it's kind of hurts. Maybe life is kind of, you've got some doubts. You've got some struggles. You're trying to just, you know, for you, just getting up and going to work and going through the motions of the day is a miracle. That is a lot for you. And you're struggling just to get by one day to the next day. Maybe you've had some powerful miracles take place in your life. You know, things that you can look back on and say, oh yeah, I remember when God did that. But right now, there seems to be fear and doubt, things that are more consuming in your current situation. You think about David, ended up being king. He wrote a lot of the Psalms of the Bible. He wrote one saying things like this in Psalm 22:1. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry out to thee in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I am not silent. Okay, he was in a pretty tough moment in life when he wrote that. He was wondering where God was. But this same guy, that as a young boy, tracked down a lion, tracked down a bear, two different occasions, when they had taken one of the lambs out of the flock that he was responsible for, he tracked them down and killed them, took the lamb and gave it back to their mama. Okay, this was not a guy that was known for being in fear. Okay, he was not a fearful man. He was not known for being afraid. He was known for being a man that knew that God was with him. That was at his core. When the Philistine giant named Goliath defied and taunted the army of Israel, okay, David heard these taunts. His father had sent him to that battlefield to check on his brothers, and when he gets there, he hears the taunts of Goliath. And something rises up inside of David, and he says, why don't any of you go and fight this uncircumcised Philistine and destroy him? He did not comprehend where their doubt was. And when David got permission from Saul to go and to fight Goliath, here's what happened. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, to Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Okay? That's not weak faith at that moment. That's not a guy that's crying out, God, where are you? I don't see you. You're not hearing me. This is a man that at his core had some strong faith. That's the kind of faith that wrought miracles. Okay? For a young boy to kill a giant 9 foot tall or whatever with the slingshot. Okay, cut off his head with a spear that just the head of the man's spear that he carried was 120 was 100 no, the head of the spear was 15 pounds. The thing that he wore on his chest was 126 pounds. This was a giant. He was a big guy. I believe that in with you in here in this body, that you are going to have opportunities in life to take your stand with God. And the good news is that I also believe that most of you, when that time comes, you will stand strong. In the heat of that battle, when you know that the only power that is going to be enough is the power of the Almighty God. Only God will suffice. And when you have no other feasible, earthly, or carnal option to rely on, you will turn to that source of all strength. I believe that. But the kind of faith that is required in the daily grind of life, okay, will need to be strong and consistent and more unmovable than the faith that you have even at that moment. It's the kind of everyday faith that will not be shaken when the heat is not turned up so high. Because in the heat of the battle, you're gonna stand with the Lord. You know that. I believe that about most of you. It's in you. You're going to take your stand with the Lord. But it's during some of those other times of life when maybe things are not so heated up and it's just kind of the everyday going through life. It's the everyday faith that you need to endure the everyday temptations of life. Okay, when that option comes between, you know, blowing up in anger or handling your boss's request with Christian values and poise and integrity. It takes faith to do that. It's the kind of faith you need when you pray and you pray and you pray and it seems like God is just being silent. It's the kind of rock-solid belief that you need when you may go for days, maybe even weeks, without seeing any acknowledgeable miracles in your life. It's when you're just getting up, going to work, you're going through the motions, maybe you come to the church, but you're going through and every day, and there's nothing, no wow moments. It's during that time that you need this everyday faith. Steadfast everyday faith is what is going to get you through those times when you don't understand why God has not answered your prayers yet. Why is God not listening to me? I love to see the miracles of God. We sang that God, the song about the God of miracles. That song ministers to me every time I hear it. It's just, I know He is the God of miracles. I have prayed many times over the years for miracles, and I've seen many miracles come to pass. Some of them are instantaneous. Okay, somebody's eye is healed, or somebody's, you know, emotions are touched, or some healing in a person's body, or some financial provision. And then there's other times, maybe it takes a season. Maybe it takes a little bit of time, but yes, you still stand and believe because you have no other option. There's been times, some of you know, financially or whatever in your life or my life, there's times where there is no other option. I cannot make it happen. I can't force it to happen any other way. It has to be God, and God does it. Okay? And at those moments, your faith is strong and you're built, and wow, God is awesome. But I believe that the Lord's preference is not to always meet your need through miracles. He wants you to have that kind of everyday faith that is going to get you through. See, there's a difference between the supernatural gift of faith. The Bible talks about a gift of faith. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's a gift. And at that moment, I believe that people that don't normally even try to pray for things like that, at that moment, the gift of faith is there and they pray and it happens. Okay? But there's also the kind of faith that has been given to every man. The Bible says every man has been dealt a measure of faith. And I think that's the faith that is here when we're not in need of some grand miracle at this very moment, maybe tomorrow, maybe an hour from now, whatever. But at this very moment, I just need to believe. I just need to maintain that faith that God has given me. It's everyday faith that is going to cause you to thrive as a Christian believer. Okay, that's the one that helps you to overcome those temptations as they come up during the day. The everyday faith I'm talking about is intimately linked with another five-letter word called trust. Okay, and here's the key. Everyday faith manifests in your life when you are trusting in the love that God has for you. You're trusting that God knows best. You're trusting that ultimately God is in control. He made the heavens, the earth, you and me. Okay, the trees, everything that's in it, and that He has your best interest in mind. It is trusting that God is on your side. Okay, God is in your corner. God is with you, helping you. You know, Margie and I had a great example this past week. Hopefully, I didn't tell her I was going to use this story, but I think she'll be all right. Margie had prayed and prayed. Some of you know that we ranch, we run cattle, and they go upriver. Okay, and sometimes it used to be that they would disappear. Maybe for a week, 2 weeks, we wouldn't be able to keep tabs on them. They kind of disappear. And this summer has been pretty exceptional. And they actually were upriver for months, a couple of months, I think, without us being able to bring them. A lot of times they come back home periodically, and then they go back up and they come home. And they kind of do this thing. So we always kind of have an understanding of where they're at. Okay, well, they hadn't done that. They had been upriver for a couple months, and Margie really wanted them to come home. Okay, so what does she do? She's a God-fearing Christian. She prays. Margie prayed for 2 or 3 weeks for those cows to come home. And she got up every morning expecting that God would have brought them home during the night, because oftentimes they would travel at night. The big full moon, cows would come home the next day kind of thing. Okay, she was right on the verge of worry. okay? And I put it nicely that way. Okay, on the verge of worry, okay? Just concerned. This has been longer than it's ever been. Why aren't they coming home? And so she's right on the edge of worry. But like some of you know that she testified on Wednesday night, the cows did come home on their own. We didn't have to go round them up or do all that. And they came home on the exact same day that we received our semi-load of hay and had it delivered to the ranch. Okay? Now, our conversation after the fact was that God knew better than we did. Because if they would have come home 2 weeks earlier, if they would have come home 3 weeks earlier when she first prayed, we would not have had enough hay at the ranch to be able to keep them there. They would have passed through and gone back to the river and upriver again, okay, for who knows how long. So it was not just God being mean and not blessing Margie with an answer to her prayers. He was orchestrating things to be in her best interest, to be in our best interest, to be in the cow's best interest. God could not have timed that scenario any better. Within literally hours, I think it was 2 or 3 hours after that semi-load being dropped off of hay at our house, the cows literally came wandering in our front gate in the middle of the day. It just doesn't happen any better than that. We open the gate, they go in, it's all done. Now we have hay at the farm, we can feed them and keep them there. We're going to sell calves this week or next week. You know what God could have done? God could have brought them home that first night that Margie prayed. And she would have praised God for it. I know her. She would praise God. Prayed for the cows to come home. The next day gets up, the cows came home. Thank you, God. I know that she would have thanked God for it. But her faith had to combine with an ongoing trust in God that he knew best. And it turned into a much bigger everyday faith builder for her. Okay, see, next year, when the cows are upriver again, and they probably will, and it gets to be that time of year that we want or we need them to come home so we can sell the calves, she can pray, and if they don't show up the next morning, she's not going to fret. Her faith is not going to be squelched. She can recall that perfect timing of God that took place this year, and it will be something that she can recall again next year and the year after that and the year after that. You see how her everyday faith got built, okay? Because she had to trust God that God knew what he was doing, and when God did it, it was perfect, okay? That is the everyday faith that we build up, okay? Her everyday faith has been built because of that scenario. Most of you know what Romans 8:28 says, but it says that God works all things together for our good to those who love God. Okay, we're here this morning because we love God, but we also need to know that he loves us. Okay, the Apostle Paul gives us a great example in the New Testament of somebody that he definitely had experienced miracles, right? Paul saw a lot of miraculous things, but he also had to learn to trust in the grace of God. Okay, to trust in the goodness that God had for him, even when he couldn't see that goodness manifesting at a particular time. Remember, at one point, Paul is sharing with the elders of Ephesus, and he's telling them the fact that he knew by the Holy Spirit that he was heading into trouble in Jerusalem. He was going to be captured and beaten and imprisoned, and he tells them this in Acts 20:24. He says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the grace of God. See, Paul had strong everyday faith because he knew that God loved him and would work all things together for his good. No matter what happened in Jerusalem, he knew he was going to be okay. He had gotten to this point, though, because of another point in his life when his everyday faith was built up. He was struggling a little bit with doubt, and the Lord reminded him that my grace is sufficient for you. Okay, you remember that scenario? He had talked to the Lord three times. He sought the Lord because of an affliction in his body. He referred to it as a messenger of Satan that he felt like had been sent to buffet him. And as he waited for that response from the Lord, he finally hears the answer. And Jesus says to his spirit, "My grace is sufficient for thee." See, grace is the riches and the goodness and the blessing and the favor of God being bestowed upon you for no other reason than that God loves you. And and you have trusted in Him for your eternal salvation, and now He blesses you. He loves to bless you. The grace of God is received by faith in Jesus Christ, that we believe in all that He did and all that He accomplished for us. The grace of God comes with the revelation that what Jesus did is enough for you in every situation that comes up. So we're to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, right? It's only when our eyes and our hearts and our minds get taken off of Christ that we begin to doubt. Okay? We begin to worry and fret. It's only when we're looking at the circumstances, we're trying to understand the situation with our natural mind, with our earthly wisdom. And it's in that time that we begin to cloud that focus on who and what is most important. Look at Matthew 7:24. Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, the crisis came, and it beat upon that house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." See, if we think that it's our employer, or we think that it's our bank account that is going to get us out of an uneasy financial situation, then we're trying to build our faith on sand. If we're looking to our spouse, or we're looking to loved ones or friends or family or whoever to be the ones that give us joy and peace, then we're not building our faith upon the rock. Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." See, peace comes from trust. That's how everyday faith will kick in next year, that we can pray. And if the cows don't come home the next day, we can trust and still have peace that God will bring them home. God has their number. Somehow He talks to cows and gets them to come home. Right? And we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to fret about it. We trust in God. We keep our focus and our fix stayed on God. See, Elijah and David had some down times. Even the Apostle Paul had some moments when he was feeling a little discouraged, crying out to the Lord three times for Paul. That was probably a lot. Okay, this was a faith-filled man. But they all had a solid foundation of trust, that when it came down to it, they stood on that. They didn't stay in that place of doubt, but they received or revived their faith in their Creator. Each one of them got back up on their feet and said, "Though I may not fully understand what's happening right now, I know that I can trust you, God, because you're the Almighty God." You know, Abraham in the Bible is known as the father of faith for a very good reason. He was a man that lived in everyday faith because he understood the true grace of God. Abraham got it. His everyday faith included that element of trust that was so necessary for each one of us to be victorious as a believer. Look at Hebrews 11:8, the faith chapter. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not even knowing where he was going." That's trust. That's faith. That's everyday faith. See, faith coupled with an unrestrained trust in God is what allowed him to go forth, not having every detail written out in front of him. He didn't have the playbook of God. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen. He didn't know the whys or the hows, but he did know what was going to happen. See, he knew that he was going to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. He knew that God loved him. He knew that God had sent him. Therefore, he just went. No matter what circumstances came up, he knew that deep down inside, they were going to turn out for his best. He was a child of the Most High God, and that's all he needed to know. The Father of Faith set an example for us to build our faith upon the rock, to set our fix on the one that knows, okay, to focus on the one that truly loves us, and to let that faith in us be built upon that rock-solid foundation of Jesus, the author and finisher, the beginning and the end. He's where it's at. So this morning, I pray that as we go, that we can go with an understanding of God's grace and an understanding of how much that He loves us, how much He loves you, to the point that no matter what situation you're in, no matter where it's at in the scale of crisis, no matter what, it is going to be okay because God is in it. Okay, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't left notice and put you on a shelf and He'll pick you up in 2 weeks. God is right there right now. Okay, in that situation, going through it. If you let your everyday faith carry you, your everyday faith will get you through this moment until the next time that your faith gets pumped again with a miracle of God. I want to close this morning with a song. It's called Build My Life. Some of you know it by Pat Barrett or House Fires, but it's a good song, and it's got some encouraging words for us as believers to build our life upon the rocks.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you.
Amen. Let's do something different. Because that's not what I was thinking it was. Why don't we just have Warren, can you come back up and pray? Play God of Miracles, and Margie, you can come up with us. I'm flexible. Amen. We can just sing God of Miracles. Yeah.
First lyric is Let Faith Arise.
Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, what I hear, help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise.
The champion's not dead, he is alive.
He already knows my name. Surely you're the one who rests with me. God of miracles come.
break my heart for you. Break my heart for you. Holy Spirit, break my heart for you. I wanna live my life for you.
Praise you, Heavenly Father. We thank you again just for you being with us, Lord, in all these times. Even when sometimes it feels like you're not listening or you're not there, Lord, we can trust that you are. You're always in our life, always doing a work, Lord, always working on our behalf. And for that, we trust you and we thank you. We praise you and we exalt you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for empowering us to live the life you called us to. Thank you for strengthening our everyday faith. As we go through these moments in life, maybe when the heat's not turned up, or maybe even when it is, but Lord, that every moment we will choose to trust in you, to rely on you, to depend on you, to place our faith wholly in you, Father. We trust you, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.